Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
A lot of priorities are on the agenda for 2017 as Donald Trump assumes the role of president along with Vice President Mike Pence. We're going to be talking about them on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. And joining us from our Washington, D.C. office is Jonathan Alexander. He is the director of public policy for Liberty Counsel and Liberty Counsel Action. Jonathan, obviously, President-elect Donald Trump has made a lot of priorities, and we're starting to also see some of the picks for cabinet, which basically goes right along with his priorities. One of those priorities, obviously, is to defund Obamacare, or I should say to repeal Obamacare and also defund Planned Parenthood. Let's begin with the repeal of Obamacare. He has also now just recently indicated through his vice president that that is a top priority for him to repeal Obamacare.
He's been unequivocal, and Mike Pence has reiterated that right out of the gate, Donald Trump wants to focus on repealing Obamacare, beginning this process of pulling back this 2010 law that has really limited the free market growth of insurance companies and put a burden on average American citizens while restricting their constitutional freedoms in many ways. And so not only did Donald Trump campaign on it, but he's often iterated, and now we're seeing the wheels turning as to how this Obamacare can really be repealed.
Yeah, you know, the incredible thing is that it should have been taken care of by the United States Supreme Court a few years ago. And unfortunately, the Chief Justice John Roberts, after 30 days into the opinion, switched his vote and came on the side of Obamacare, which really does a lot of damage to the Constitution, because for the first time in history, it says that the federal government has the authority to force someone, an individual or a business, to buy a certain product. That's what Obamacare is. It's the federal government taking jurisdiction, saying that it can, from the federal government's position, force consumers to buy a product. If they can force you to buy a certain kind of health care or offer a certain kind of health care, they can force you to do anything. So that decision is very damaging. But the good news is that the actual substance of the law will be repealed in 2017. The House passed the repeal multiple times. The Senate has the votes to do it, but it would run up against President Barack Obama. But now it's going to have a president who will push for the repeal.
Certainly, we are setting the runway for sort of the Trump plane in repealing Obamacare to land. He's asked that the budget be pushed off the end of March of 2017, and Congress is willing to accommodate him in that so that, you know, the priorities of repealing Obamacare can take effect in those first critical days of office. You know, you mentioned the limitations or the constitutional problems that come up with the passage of Obamacare. Well, Obamacare and, you know, the presidency has used this platform to push different initiatives that have violated consciences all across the country. And not only is Obamacare forcing individuals to buy into the system, you know, but has limitations on folks recusing themselves from performing abortions, you know, requiring doctors or nurses under certain HHS mandates to participate in procedures that are against their conscience. In addition to that, you know, HHS has been on the front lines of pushing the transgender ideology, you know, even wanting to have doctors perform these surgeries against their conscience. So not only is Obamacare on its face a constitutional atrocity, but in its application, it's consistently, you know, limited the individual's right to conscience and their, you know, ability to live out their principles in their workplaces.
Yeah, someone who's litigated it at the highest levels of the country and seen the intricacies and how this thing applies, it is an atrocious kind of law that actually, and someone who also from an employer perspective has to deal with health insurance. It's a nightmare. It is absolutely a train wreck, and it is not working in many of the states, so they're shutting down. their exchanges because the insurance companies can't afford it. So that's on the horizon. The other thing is defunding Planned Parenthood. That's a promise that Donald Trump made, and it's a promise that this particular administration and the House and Senate has to keep. So we can't allow them to get around this. Not to say that anyone is saying that they will, but it has to be a high priority. We had a Republican House and Senate and the White House under George W. Bush, and all the rhetoric that came out of Bush never went anywhere. And that's because they didn't have a solid commitment. They were conservative politically, but they didn't really have it in their veins. And so here we continue to defend and fund an organization that kills children. Now we have to actually keep our word on this. And moving along to that same point, right after he is inaugurated on January 20, sometime soon thereafter, he'll make a nomination to the United States Supreme Court to fill the seat of Justice Antonin Scalia, and that's going to be a very critical position to fill.
Certainly. As we mentioned yesterday, his pro-life, you know, how he articulated his pro-life principles, or at least what he'll put into motion to advance the pro-life movement, was what got him in office. Certainly it was the reason why evangelicals came out in strong support for him. You know, you mentioned Planned Parenthood receiving nearly $500 million. The videos that are still fresh in our mind from a year and a half ago of the atrocities that Planned Parenthood commits and continues to commit, the perversion that is brewing these Planned Parenthood factories as they teach sexual education and mandate certain, you know, sexual activity to be taught in school. You know, there are countless reasons, you know, the Democratic leadership that has been beholden to Planned Parenthood in many ways, including the recent president, has fought any measure that a Congress would place in front of them. Thankfully, this time around, we have a president that, you know, has committed to take pro-life stances, and we want to continue to urge Congress to place these refund bills on the president's desk.
Well, we also have Jeff Sessions. He's going to be coming up for confirmation, and I'm sure he will discontinue some of these radical lawsuits that the Obama administration's Department of Justice is pursuing. Also, on the religious liberty front, Donald Trump said he would repeal the Johnson Amendment that would remove these restrictions on churches and other 501c3 nonprofit organizations from speaking about candidates for elected office. Certainly, I think that's an issue that's going to be on the horizon and on the agenda. Also, we have the issue of the matter of the First Amendment Defense Act. There's so many things on religious freedom that's coming down the pipe. There's the LGBT directive to the schools. There's the same thing to the federal agencies and to the Employment Opportunity EOC. There is the other issues with regards to Iran and ending the deal with Iran, imposing sanctions on Iran for their nuclear aggression in the Middle East, and supporting Israel, along with not only supporting Israel, but even moving the embassy from Tel Aviv to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. That will send a huge message around the world.
Yeah, certainly. I mean, you mentioned, I think, what would be a priority and a strong step for a pro-Israel presidency and certainly pro-Israel Congress to take, moving that embassy to Jerusalem. One thing that we do have to pay attention to, certainly in this transition political process, who we fill in that, you know, position of Secretary of State and who we have as State Department workers will be critical in this. Our State Department still operates under a Jimmy Carter mentality. It needs to be updated. It needs to run with the times. It needs to reflect a pro-Israel U.S. populace. So this is a unique appeal, but it certainly, if you know, there are people that are qualified to work in our State Department that understand our relationship with Israel, that's going to be boots on the ground. It's going to be those individuals that would be taking the initiative to make a potential move to Jerusalem be recognized in the world as a significant united step towards continuing the U.S.-Israeli relation.
Well, certainly we're not under, and I don't think anyone should be under, any illusion that this is just going to be an easy ride. The difference is that with Hillary Rodham Clinton, we would be complaining, we would be putting our information out there, our desires, but we wouldn't be getting anywhere because she would so radicalize the system that it would, I think, destroy the republic. Now at least we have the opportunity, and I think not only the opportunity, but we have to pray. We have to continue to focus. We've got 2 years to at least get many of these things right so that when the midterm elections come around, we don't lose ground. Our guest has been Jonathan Alexander, the Director of Public Policy for Liberty Counsel, Liberty Counsel Action in our Washington, D.C. office. I'm very excited about the future. I have no illusions, however. It is now time to work. It is time to move forward. And I would encourage you to go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. Become an active partner of Liberty Counsel and make a difference in your community and across the nation. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org.